Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me out here, Mark?
Just muted.
There you go.
Am I on now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can hear you. Can
All
you
right.
hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay.
All right, well, it's recording. So welcome to Fundamentally Mormon. It's your host Mark and Kim Lichtenwalter, coming to you live on the fifth day of July 2018. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And since I am driving tonight, Kim will be reading and I will be commenting. So I'm just going to mute myself. And we're just finishing off the last part of The Mysteries by Ogden Crowd. And so it shouldn't be a 45-minute show tonight. It should be 30 minutes, maybe a little extra, maybe, who knows. Anyway, but I'm just going to mute myself and let Kim take over. And I'll listen with everyone else.
Okay, so tonight we are reading a continuation of the Mysteries packet, and we're doing the LDS reception of the Mysteries. So I'll get right into it. This is in the Mysteries pamphlets, and it is on page 14, or right before, or at the end of page 13. If you're reading it in the End Signs of the Nations, Volume 3, it's on page 1650 at the top. It says, the prophet Joseph, like all other great prophets, had difficulty teaching new truths to the world. On one occasion, his feelings were unleashed in this great outburst, quote, this generation is as corrupt as the generation of the Jews that crucified Christ, and if he were here today and should preach the same doctrine he did then, they would put him to death, end quote. Teachings of Prophet Joseph Smith, page 328. Again, on another occasion, he spoke of this difficulty and continues to also chastise the saints. Said he in the teachings of Prophet Joseph Smith, page 331, but there has been a great difficulty in getting anything into the heads of this generation. It has been like splitting hemlock knots with a corn dodger for a wedge and a pumpkin for a beetle. Even the saints are slow to understand. I have tried for a number of years to get the minds of the saints prepared to receive the things of God, but we frequently see some of them, after suffering all they have for the work of God, will fly to pieces like glass as soon as anything comes that is contrary to their tradition. They cannot stand the fire at all. End quote.
So, I want to explain that little phrase, hemlock knot, beetle, whatever. So a hemlock is a really very, very hard wood, and a knot in hemlock is extremely hard. A corn dodger for a wedge is like a piece of pumpkin, not pumpkin, but a piece of cornbread. And a pumpkin for a beetle is basically a hammer. Using a hammer to put in a piece of cornbread to split open a hemlock knot is impossible. It's 1800s, 1900s, whatever terminology. And I don't know, I always get a kick out of that. The other thing, too, I wanted to say real quick, Joseph Smith was a restorational prophet. He was restoring truth that had been lost to the world. So if he teaches things that are not known, that you do not find in Scripture, it's because they were lost from Scripture. So a lot of things have been lost to the world, and he wanted to restore it as part of Zion's redemption. Actually, it was God our Father that wanted to restore it. So, you know, a lot of Christians will say, well, that's not in the Scriptures. Well, a lot of times there are hints to it, like baptisms for the dead. Like, that was a mystery that the people did not understand, but they used to know about, and you can find early Christians talking about those type of things, But in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, when Paul is trying to convince the saints in Corinth about the resurrection of the dead, he says, what else will they do that are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, well, right there, that word for in Greek means in behalf of. Why are they baptizing them in behalf of the dead if they rise not at all? You know, and he's just trying to make a point to those people, but when we read it as Gentiles, we don't understand what they were talking about because that truth had been lost. Like, there's other things, too. Where Jeremiah says, Jehovah says to Jeremiah, Yahu, I knew thee before thou were born, before thou were in the womb of thy mother. I think I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. He's talking about the preexistence of spirits, the pre-mortal existence. So God creates all things first spiritually and then second temporally. And he created us as well. We've existed before this earth was even created. And that was a truth that Joseph Smith taught. That was a mystery that most of Christianity refuses because they don't understand those things. You know, so, and like the Jews, they're like, well, who sinned? His mother or this guy that he was born blind? And like, if the guy was born blind and he sinned before his birth, Jesus didn't say, well, there's no preexistence of spirits, but the Christians will say that. Anyway, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. Continuing. There are a great many wise men and women, too, in our midst who are too wise to be taught. Therefore, they must die in their ignorance, and in the resurrection they will find their mistake. Teaching the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 309. Some have supposed that we have all that God has revealed within the Doctrine and Covenants. But Brigham Young said this was not the case. God had revealed many things, but the people were not able to accept them. In Brigham Young, Journal of Discourse, Volume 18, page 242, he says, I recollect in Far West, Joseph, talking upon these matters, said, I guess this is the quote within the quote, this is what Joseph said, the people cannot bear the revelations that the Lord has for them. There were a great many revelations if the people could bear them, end quote. Others among the saints knew the difficulty Joseph had with these new mysteries of truth. John Taylor added the following comments. No wonder that Joseph Smith should say that befelt himself, shut up in a nutshell. I don't know, that's just what it says, so I'm reading it word for word, okay? There was no power of expansion. It was difficult for him to reveal and communicate the things of God because there was no place to receive them. What he had to communicate was so much more comprehensive, enlightened, and dignified than that which the people generally knew and comprehended. It was difficult for him to speak. He felt fettered and bound, so to speak, in every move he made. End quote. John Taylor, Journal of Discourse, Volume 10, page 148. Also, Wilfer Woodruff in the Journal of Discourse, Volume 5, page 84, said, the fact is, there are a great many things taught in the building up of this kingdom, which seems strange to us, being contrary to our traditions and are calculated to try men. Brother Joseph used a great many methods of testing the integrity of men, and he taught a great many things which, in consequence of tradition, required prayer, faith, and testimony from the Lord. Before they could be believed by many of the saints, his mind was opened by the visions of the Almighty, and the Lord taught him many things by vision and revelation that were never taught publicly in his days. For the people could not bear the flood of intelligence which God poured into his mind. End quote. Also, George Buchanan said in Millennial Star 61, page 629, quote, there are many, perhaps all of us, that have more or less of a desire to conform to the ideas which prevail in the world. These ideas we have inherited, and they can't come natural to us, not having progressed sufficiently to overcome them. We naturally lean towards them. We do this in politics, in finance, in trading, in almost everything. It seems to be right to us because all of our inherited tendencies are in that direction. If we could have a glimpse of heaven and understand things as they are, we might be able to do better. But this is not God's way of doing things. He wants us to work out our own development and to exert the powers we have inherited from him in conquering the wrong tendencies we have inherited from our fathers. He gives us line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, but he does not reveal it all at once. At the same time, he would like us to comprehend more than we do. I have sometimes thought that the prophet Joseph, with the knowledge he possessed and the progress he had made, could not say with the people, so slow were we to comprehend things and so enshrouded in our ignorant traditions. End quote. President Brigham Young explains the rare quality of character of those people who are able to accept new truth. Brigham Young, Deseret News, June 7, 1873, quote, a declaratory statement is sufficient for those who are prepared to receive the spirit of revelation for themselves. But with the most of the human family, we have to reason and explain. A really pure person is very scarce. But when the heart is truly pure, the Lord can write upon it, and the truth is received without argument or doubt or disputation. End quote. The Lord confirmed this in DNC 76, page 116. It says, neither is man capable to make them mysteries known, for they are only to be seen and understood by the power of the Holy Spirit, which God bestows on those who love him and purify themselves before him. End quote. Also in DNC 76, 5 through 8, it says, for thus saith the Lord, I, the Lord, am merciful and gracious unto those who fear me and delight to honor those who serve me in righteousness and in truth unto the end. Great shall be their reward, and eternal shall be their glory. And to them will I reveal all mysteries, yea, all the hidden mysteries of my kingdom from days of old and for ages to come will I make known unto them the good pleasure of my will concerning all things pertaining to my kingdom. Yea, even the wonders of eternity shall they know, and things to come will I show them, even the things of many generations. End quote. Alma adds this excellent description of qualification and qualification in Alma 26, verse 22. It says, quote, yea, he that repenteth and exerciseth faith and bringeth forth good works and prayeth continually without ceasing unto such as it is given to know the mysteries of God, yea, unto such it shall be given to reveal things which never have been revealed, yea, and it shall be given unto such to bring thousands of souls to repentance, even as it has been given unto us to bring these our brethren to repentance. End quote. The great King Benjamin, before delivering his famous sermon, pleaded to the people to prepare themselves so that they would be able to receive the mysteries of God. In Mosiah chapter 2, verse 9, it says, and these are the words which he spake and caused to be written, saying, my brethren, all ye that have assembled yourselves together, you that can hear my words, which I shall speak unto you this day, for I have not commanded you to come up hither to trifle with the words which I shall speak, but that you should hearken unto me, and open your ears that ye may hear, and your hearts that ye may understand, and your minds that the mysteries of God may be unfolded to your view. From these scriptures and revelations, we know that righteousness is the most important factor in learning about the kingdom of God. Only in purity of heart can we understand these mysteries. Without purity and righteousness, the mysteries become stumbling blocks and a rock of offense. End quote. So the next section is called Dangers in Teaching. And I'm just going to continue right on with that if you don't have anything else to say about that one.
Well, just real quick. You know, even as much as Joseph did reveal, like for instance, the King Follett discourse, as deep as that is, it is only a thread in the tapestry of the mysteries of God. Like, his mysteries are beyond most understanding, and people would take offense because they don't understand. I mean, they want to put God into a box, and they think they know all about God and all about his society and all about this, that, and the other. And really, they're just working with the basics. Even the King Pulit discourse, as deep as that was is basics for what the mysteries can be, what the mysteries can be revealed. And I know that there's a lot of people today that accept Joseph as a true prophet that reject the King Pulit discourse. They say that Joseph, in his Nauvoo years, became apostatized from the truth and became a fallen prophet. And they rant and rave and rail about Joseph Smith when he was trying to reveal the best, the most deep that they could even begin to consider, which is nothing more than a thread in the tapestry of the mysteries of God. So I wish that I could, and I have shared more, because God has showed me things about the mysteries, and even I've only got a very dim view of what is actually, you know, there. But, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you're not a prophet because that's all crazy, and it's not, you can't find that in the scriptures. And, like, it's like that one quote that you just quoted, you know, things never before revealed. Well, there are things that I have spoken of that have not been revealed, as far as I know, in scripture, but I know it's true because God opened it up to my view, just like he said he would in that one quote. You know, he's opened it up to my view and helped me understand things that are deep mysteries, but people will flip out because, oh, you can't find that in the scriptures. Do you think that everything about everything is written in the scriptures? No. It's a very, very small sliver of an oak tree or a great, you know, redwood elm or redwood out in California. You know how big they are? Like, what we have is a sliver of that tree concerning the mysteries. So, but, you know, of course, when you receive these kind of things, you have to try the spirits and make sure they're from God, because Satan wants to let you know mysteries too. And sometimes it gets you off track, you know, like he did in the Garden of Eden with Hava or Eve and Adam. He's like, the gods did this and the gods did that. And, you know, and it's like they weren't ready for that. And he was trying to give them mysteries that were true, that they didn't come from God. So if you receive a mystery, you should go to God and make sure that it's true and ask him if it's true. And if you're ready for it, God will reveal it to you. And like for me, God revealed a small glimpse of things to me, and I asked for more, and he's given me more when I was ready for it. So anyway, I'll mute myself again.
Okay, so dangers and teachings. Those persons who are not righteous enough to receive new mysteries of truth will oppose them. Not only will the truth be opposed, but also those who teach them. Hence, there is a great danger in teaching the mysteries of the kingdom of God. No one knew these dangers better than the prophet Joseph. He not only had dangers from the outside world, but also from among his friends. It says in the teachings of Prophet Joseph Smith, page 309, many men will say, I will never forsake you, but will stand by you at all times. But the moment you teach them some of the mysteries of the kingdom of God that are retained in the heaven and are to be revealed to the children of men, when they are prepared for them, they will be the first to stone you and put you to death. It was this same principle that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and will cause the people to kill the prophets in this generation. End quote. It also says in 1 Corinthians 3:2, therefore, there must be great wisdom used in handling the mysteries. Jesus warned his people not to cast those pearls before swine. All of the disciples had to use care in proclaiming the secrets which they knew. Paul felt the weakness of the saints and voiced his feelings to them this way. Sorry, this is the quote in 1 Corinthians 3:2. It says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. End quote. Paul also had trouble with many of the saints who should have been teachers. They also were under the necessity of learning the milk of the gospel, or in other words, the first principles. He declared that stronger doctrines are for those that are able to discern both good and evil. This is meant of the gospel. And then it says in Hebrew, chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. End quote. Jesus referred to this meat of the gospel, which was yet a mystery to his disciples. In John chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. End quote. And again, to his hearers, he referred to this meat in John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. End quote. In the days of the second coming, Jesus shall appoint certain faithful saints to be rulers in his kingdom. Asked him who those faithful and wise servants would be. And again, Jesus referred to the meat and to those who would be imparting it. In IV Luke 12:47 through 53, it says, quote, And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or unto all? And the Lord said, I speak unto those whom the Lord shall make rulers over his household, to give his children their portion of meat in due season. And they said, Who then is that faithful and wise servant? And the Lord said unto them, It is that servant who watcheth to impart his portion of meat in due season. Blessed be that servant whom his Lord shall find when he cometh so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him rule over all that he hath. End quote. Here the faithful servant is the one who watcheth, I feel like I'm getting tongue-tied all over back and forth. Here the faithful servant is the one who watches to impart his portion of meat. In other words, the saint who knew the mysteries and would watch for the due season or the right time and place to impart that meat of the gospel. It is that faithful servant or saint who learns the meat and teaches it in its due season, who is the saint that shall be made ruler over all that he hath. In Brigham Young's last public address, he summarizes the majesty of the gospel and the great hidden mysteries that God has reserved for the latter times. However, he points out, in no certain terms, our incapacity as saints to receive these things. He says, in Journal of Discourse, Volume 19, page 93 through 94, quote, When we get to understand all knowledge, all wisdom that is necessary for us to understand in the flesh, we will be like clay in the hands of the potter, willing to be molded and fashioned according to the will of him who has called us to this great and glorious work of purifying ourselves and our fellow beings, and of preparing the nations of the earth for the glory that awaits them through obedience. Here is mystery. Here are the hidden mysteries that God has reserved for the latter times, and they are coming forth. The work we have upon us is an immense one. It is great, powerful, and divine. It is an almighty work. And with regard to the conduct of this people, AA, with umlauts on the top of it, I don't know if you know what that is, but they're like little dot-looking things on the top. If an angel should come here and speak his feelings as plainly as I do, I think he would say, O Latter-day Saint, why don't you see in your eyes and behold the great work resting upon you and that you have entered into. You are blind. You are stupid. You are in the dark in the midst of fog, mist and fog, wandering to and fro like the boat upon the water without sail, rudder or oar, and you know not whether you are going." End quote. Joseph Smith felt a similar feeling of anguish because of the inability of the saints to receive greater truth. It says in the Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 112, "If the church knew all the commandments, one half they would condemn through the prejudice and ignorance." End quote. Because of our difficulty to learn even one half of the commandments, it often happens that when we hear a new truth, which would cause us to leave old traditions and our conformities with the world, we will in fear and false justification cry out, "Stay away from the mysteries." It is because of these attributes which caused the Prophet Joseph Smith to say in the Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 3, "Had I inspiration, revelation, and lungs to communicate what my soul has contemplated in the times past, there is not a soul in this congregation but would go to their homes and shut their mouths in everlasting silence on religion till they had learned something." End quote. It also says in the Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 364, quote, "I advise all to go on to perfection and search deeper and deeper into the mysteries of godliness. A man can do nothing for himself unless God corrects him in the right way, and the priesthood is for that purpose." End quote. The next pamphlet that comes up is The New Testament and Plural Marriage, September 1994, by Ogden Prout. Do you want me to continue with that? There's 2 minutes and 57 seconds on the live streaming portion of this.
No, we can start that one tomorrow. I don't want to mix the pamphlets up in the radio shows.
Okay.
So, I wanted to say something about the mysteries, though. So, in the school of the prophets, which God commanded there to be many schools of the prophets, that we should have them in the church, right? And where we could talk about the mysteries amongst each other, but we don't do that anymore. Nobody in the mainstream church anyway. So this is kind of like a school of the prophets where we could talk about these things. But one thing that drives me absolutely insane is I know that God wants to reveal many truths to the people and that there are people ready for it. But when the church says that you shouldn't speak of the mysteries to the congregations of saints, they're basically saying that these people are swine, that you should not cast the mysteries before. You know, do they not trust the saints to be able to handle the mysteries? I mean, I don't know. I've never been in high priest form, but I'm pretty sure they delve into a few things. But, you know, in the fear, in the atmosphere of fear in the church about, like, getting into some of these things, like the Adam-God doctrine, I mean, if you even talk about it, you're going to get excommunicated for it. You know, so you can't have free association with people that might talk about the Adam God doctrine. And if you believe it, you might just be cast out of the church. I mean, my aunt, stake president, probably about 30 years ago, she talked about how she believed in the Adam God doctrine because she learned it from a fundamentalist group. And he told her straight out, if it wasn't for her 7 kids that she had, that she was bringing to church, he would excommunicate her right then for even talking about it, which is sickening to me because, okay, Brigham Young talked about it, and in that day, when Brigham Young and other church leaders talked about those mysteries, you could be excommunicated for not believing it. Now you can be excommunicated for believing it in our day, even though it's still taught in the temple when Jehovah is sent by the Elohim or the gods, which the church has got all confused now. They think that God our Father is Elohim, which they don't understand what that title even means, and they don't understand who Jehovah was either. But Jehovah and Michael went to create the earth, And when they got to where the earth was going to be organized or created, Yehovah told Michael to go do the work, and Michael said, it will be done. That's in your temple. That's in your endowment. Joseph Smith taught that the name for God the Father is God the Creator. And who created? In the temple endowment, it was Michael. He is the Father. He is not only the Father of our bodies, but he has adopted us through the law of adoption. He was the Redeemer on an older earth, which are mysteries that the church can't even get into because they have basically put God in a box and they've misunderstood things like, you know, the mystery of who Yehovah was. Well, in Ether chapter 3, Yehovah said, I have never, or not Yehovah, Jesus tells Mohanrei Moriankomer, the brother of Jared, I have never showed myself to man before this point. Yeah, Yehovah walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He walked with Enoch for like 280-something years or something like that, you know, in the city of Zion. You know, and that was before the flood, before Mohanrei Moriankomer was a twinkle in his daddy's eye, you know, so to speak. And even after, Yehovah had a meal with Abraham and Sarah in his tent, and he ate dairy and milk in his tent with a resurrected body. And the three angels that came with him were corporeal resurrected beings before the resurrection. But Jesus told Mohanrei Moriankomer that this is my spirit body, and that he would come in the meridian of time and gain a body. So he was still a spirit, yet you've got these resurrected beings because they were resurrected on an older earth. And Michael was our Redeemer on an older earth. And Yehovah was on an older earth than that. And he was a Redeemer, you know. And the progression of the gods, people don't understand these things. Because they can't accept what they've been given. And they even reject it. And now they persecute people who know about the mysteries or believe in the mysteries or even teach the mysteries because they say that, you know, it's not right for somebody to talk about the mysteries and you shouldn't cast your pearls before swine. But basically they're calling church members swine who aren't ready for the mysteries. So I don't know. But I know for myself that God does reveal mysteries to those who are ready for it. And for many years, I kept my mouth shut about the mysteries until God told me to be bold and to speak about the things that he has shared with me and to declare my witness who he is. You know, our Father is a resurrected being, and so is our Savior. And they were both resurrected because they were redeemers. And we all receive resurrection as well. But, you know, there's mysteries that God wants to reveal to the people. But when they fight against what he's already revealed, then he's not going to reveal anymore. So, and I think it's sad because I would love to be among people. But the other thing, too, so we had a friend whose name was Sam, and he was open to the mysteries, but he would not test the spirits, try the spirits, as it says in the New Testament. So in Matthew chapter 24, it says, try the spirits, for many false prophets and false teachers have gone out. Now, the reason why he says that is because these spirits aren't all from God, and they want to give you mysteries. They want to give you all kinds of lies, even lies mixed with truth, yeah, or even straight out truth that you're not ready for. So, like I said before, Hava, who the Gentiles call Eve, Satan gave her a mystery about the gods have done this before on other worlds. That was a mystery. She wasn't ready for it. She should have gone and asked Jehovah more about that, and he would have taught her more about that, whatever. But I just, you know, I tell everybody, you know, when you receive a revelation or when you think you know the truth about some principle of the gospel, ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Yeshua or Jesus, as the Gentiles call him, and ask for a confirmation of the Holy Spirit that you believe it's true, ask him if it is true, and give him a so you can get a confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And if it is true and you're ready for it, you'll get a confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And if it's not true, the Spirit will withdraw from you and you'll be left to the buffetings of Satan until you repent of that false belief. And I've done that. But, you know, I've been left to the buffetings of Satan because I thought something was right and I asked God if it was true and the Spirit completely withdrew from me. And when I recognized that stress and anxiety of the buffetings of Satan that came upon me, I repented. And I asked God to forgive me of that false belief. And then the Spirit came back. And then I asked, Heavenly Father, I have studied this out to the best of my ability. And it truly had. I did all I could do. And I asked him what the truth of this particular scripture was that I was asking about. And he showed me. He opened it right up to me. And now I understand that. I'm not going to talk about that on this show because we didn't build up to it or anything. But God does that. He wants to reveal as much as we're ready to receive. And that's why we study the scriptures. And that's why we pray and we ask for revelation. If you lack wisdom on a certain topic, you can ask God and he will give it to you if you're ready for it. And if you don't get an answer, that means you just need to keep on studying and keep on asking. I asked for like 6 or 7 years about what it meant to have your calling and election made sure. And finally I was shown and I was given my calling and election that I talked about in my patriarchal blessing, but I was sealed up into the Father. And now I can testify to the world that I have seen the Father and the Son face to face. And I have embraced them both and that they have resurrected bodies and that they are not spirits, as the New Testament says, you know, and I can testify of those things and that they do live. But I asked and I kept on being like very, you know, really just asking all the time. I was praying about it, pondering over it, and I would ask other things too, but I wanted to understand really what this meant. What does it mean in my patriarchal blessing that I've been given the greatest gift that God has to bestow, the gift of eternal life? What does calling an election mean? How do I obtain it? What is it, you know? And I finally was given the answer for that. So anyway, but God wants to reveal it to us, and I'm just here to testify that I know that he wants to reveal so much more to us. But if we just accept everything that we get by revelation without getting confirmation, we might be being deceived like our friend Sam was. And he was deceived and he gave himself over to those deceitful spirits and he went down a bad path. You know, and he's fallen. He's basically a fallen prophet. And it's sad because he could have taken the counsel that I gave to him and gotten revelation to confirm by the Holy Ghost what was true and what was false, but he would not do that. And he trusted the false spirits and he went down that path. And that's it, you know. So we have to be careful, but God wants us all to receive revelation. So he wants us all to be prophets. You know, Moses, he talked about, Moses said God would that all of his children were prophets and the spirit of prophecy would come upon them. So anyway, did you have anything else that you wanted to say, Kim?
Nope. Not that I can think of.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I'll give you a call back in a little bit, and then we'll be back on tomorrow with a new pamphlet, whenever Kim can do that. Hopefully I'll get to work earlier and I can actually stop you know, tomorrow and help with the reading. But anyway, that's it. Thank you everybody for listening, and I guess we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Love you, Kim. Take care,
love
everyone.
You. Bye.
Bye.